unbelief. Discouragement can come. And I want to dedicate this sermon to people that are in that season. Or maybe you know a loved one that needs some help today, that needs just a bit of a lift today. I want to equip you today, as we should the church, that we would you would be able to walk out of this halftime and go back on the field and be the church, be the people that give them the outline, give them the Word of God today. Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church? Yes. Jesus told us a story in John chapter 10 about the shepherd and how He is the shepherd, and He's the great I Am, and how He protects the sheep, not only from wolves, but He protects them from the elements. He protects them from storms, and He protects them from Satan. And He shows that we're a lot like sheep, aren't we? Over and over, the Word of God says that. Yeah, you Bible believers here, right, everybody? In John chapter 10, verse 7, on the big screen in your handout, it says this, "And Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep.'" Somebody say, "I am the door."
I am the door.
And so people are like sheep, and these sheep are facing adversity, and you face adversity also because you're breathing today. And if you're not facing adversity, I'm positive, because this is a positive message, I'm a positive preacher, you're going to face adversity. Come on, preacher, give me some good news. I am. I'm giving you good news. Jesus will see you through the adversity. Right, everybody? And it says in verse 8, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers." Imagine being in the audience, right? And I don't think Jesus is calling anybody from Living Faith a thief and a robber in this bunch. But He says, look, the good news is this. The sheep did not hear them because they know that they are a thief and a robber. There's no life there. Verse 9, "I am the door." Somebody shout, "I am the door."
"I am the door."
"And anyone who enters with me, he will be saved. He will go in and go out and find pasture. And the thief does not come except to steal, kill," and somebody say, "destroy." But look what Jesus does. He does the best. He blesses us, and you're God's child. God doesn't want to blast you. He wants to bless you. God wants to help you today. "I have come that they may have life and have it more of..." That means more than life, limitless, exceeding life, a great life today, beyond wonderful. It's a blessed life today, and thank God for it. Others had come. They'd come like the cult leaders, and they would want to claim to be Messiah according to the passage. And Jesus knew who they were. And thieves, when they come, really just benefit themselves. And they don't benefit the sheep. But Jesus came to benefit you and to benefit me and to bless you today. I love it. When I would listen to my K-Love back when I was a teenager, we had this radio station called K-Light, I think, or K-Light something. It was on AM or FM. Anyway, we would hear contemporary Christian music, and we didn't have many artists like y'all have today, like we have on K-Love. We had, like, Andre Crouch. Do y'all remember Andre Crouch, some of you oldie but goodies in here? You know why you remember Andre? Because you're old. Amen. And Andre Crouch had this song called "Jesus is the Answer." Jesus is the answer. I got my singing anointing on today. I don't know what's happened to me. "For the world today, above Him there's no other. Jesus is the way, the truth and the light." And He'd make those ivory keys. And Andre Crouch and the disciples, man, they would sing behind Him. Do y'all remember that? Man, the Holy Spirit would fill Carnegie Hall. I had the record. Amen. I wish I wouldn't have gotten rid of it. Amen. Yeah, y'all know what, it wasn't on a playlist. It wasn't on my phone. And Andre Crouch and the disciples. "Jesus is still the answer for the world today. Above Him, there is no other. Jesus is still the way." Amen. And the world will switch us with imitations and things that you put your bank on, or you think, if I get that, I'll finally have the answer in my life. And it's not the way. There was this lady, and she thought, being single her whole life, most of her life, she didn't want to be an old maid, but she was getting up there, and she finally found a guy asking her out. A guy asked her out. He was handsome, he was sharp, and he had all the looks, and he said, "Hey, let's go out." And she wanted within her to kind of say, "Let me check my calendar, see if I..." But she didn't have anything to do. Y'all ever date that sort of girl? Anyway, so she finally says, "Yes, I've checked, I can go out." So they went out, and they started dating. He fell in love with her, and she fell in love with him, and sooner or later, he got down on that one knee, and he says, "Baby, will you make me the happiest man ever, and you become my wife?" And she didn't want to say yes right away. She wanted him to be suspenseful, you know. But she couldn't help it, man. She was going to, she said, yes, I'll get married to you. Amen. I'll be your wife. And she, 5 years later, though, something happened. You know, that hunk, he became a chunk. And she thought that marriage was going to be the end all and it was going to be great. And when she looked towards marriage as her earthly answer, her answer to make her happy, she wasn't satisfied. She was still lacking. She was still wanting something more. And she says, there has to be more. And it, if you've ever been in that sort of circumstance, you know that Jesus is, even in marriage, right, everybody? You look towards your husband to be the answer. He's not. He's going to fail you because he's human. You put too much. As our wives, we can't put everything on our wife. We got to look to Jesus, right? He's the answer today. We don't want, nothing is shortchanging you. God will never come up empty if you bank on him today. Right, everybody? And so if you want to know what life is really about, Satan will give you imitation. The world will give you imitation. Culture will give you imitation. But Jesus will give you real life today. And so I want to give you that real life. I want to give you more than a wonderful life. I want to give you an abundant life by God's word. I want to present that to you today, that you'll walk out armed. You can apply this when you're not feeling like life is going your way. You can say, I have an abundant life. I may not see it, but I know by faith I have it. Because it's not by feeling that we have this thing called faith, right? And it's the word of God that we have. And so I've given you principles there in God's word. Let's look at number one. The principle here is this for the abundant life. Is it behind door number three? And I used to love this show called Let's Make a Deal. When I was a kid going yesteryear, there used to be a show by Monty Hall. There's Monty Hall. And it's called Let's Make a Deal. And he would call people down and they would run down. I think it was just kind of like The Price is Right. They were the first ones that invented it. And they would come down, and there was nothing more enthusiastic than a person getting a chance at winning a bunch of money or getting a room full of furniture or getting that cruise to whatever it might be. But there was also these doors that could be like a dud. It could be like a goat. And by the way, didn't you like the contestants that were real enthusiastic? See, that's why I like sisters to get called. Y'all know what I mean by a sister? See, these people that have a little bit lighter skin, they don't get enthusiastic, but you get a sister getting up there, it's gonna be on, man. And that's just entertainment in itself, because they're expecting to win, and they're showing it, amen. They got a little bit of faith, amen. Oh, if we could have that in this Presbyterian church right now, give me. See, I worked hard on this mess. I cooked all day yesterday on this thing. Yeah, amen. Thank God. Yeah, I got one person. Amen. One person causes an avalanche, and that's good today, amen. And so it inspires me, amen, when y'all get a little bit excited on this thing up in here in this Baptist church. Give me a good amen. Amen. Yeah, and so we have this door. I think door number one might be a door of performance. And the workaholic, he loves that door because he opens it, and his satisfaction is only when the job's complete. And you'll meet him on the street, and he's the type of person. They'll go, this is what I've accomplished, and this is what I've done. You know nothing about him, but he'll tell you all of his accomplishments. And there's nothing wrong with that, about his job and so forth, but there's nothing unless it's about his job, and he can't sit still. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:8, hear the word of the Lord, man is always working but never satisfied. Somebody say that with me. Man is always working, never satisfied. And I don't want you to miss this. There was a man in the 80s, and he was a British rock musician. His name was Bob Geldof, and he took a year off his itinerant to become this musician and went off tour because he saw such a need in Ethiopia. There were starving children. And so in the 80s, he went full force on trying to solve the hunger crisis in Ethiopia. And what he did was he started just getting other musicians together so they could have the money and raise money. They raised millions of dollars. They did this thing called We Are the World. Remember Michael Jackson sang and Stevie Wonder, and they all got, and they sang We Are the World, and and it was a video on MTV, and it was just this video that they did. Well, they raised, off that Live Aid thing, they raised millions of dollars. Well, later on, when he saw, Bob saw that he really didn't even make a dent into world poverty, he wrote this book, Is That It? Is That It? Because he realized all of his accomplishments, all the things that he did to solve world hunger, it still was going on. Still, and he just wasn't fulfilled. And that's why he wrote the book on fulfillment, that he still couldn't really find any satisfaction on the door of performance. I think door number two is like this door of position. Like if I finally become as famous as that movie star, or if I get that position, or if I get that promotion, or if I get elected. Actor Jim Carrey, isn't he funny? Remember, I love Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, man. That's a good movie. It's funny. I don't care what you say. It's funny. With Jim and all of his accomplishments and him being in the position of a movie star, Hall, Walk of Fame star, Hollywood Boulevard, he said this, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they've dreamed about so they can see that that is not the answer. I think Jim Carrey wrote a good gospel there, right, everybody? Yeah, in a wonderful life, yeah, we clap for everything at Living Faith Church, even Jim Carrey. Jim, you need to come to Living Faith, amen. And that George Bailey spent much of his life on the film, It's a Wonderful Life, wishing he could be somebody else, wishing he could finally get that position. In the final scene of his celebration, his brother Harry, that's accomplished a lot, he told them, and you'll see it at the very end. I'm going to show you two clips. Don't go to sleep so you don't wake up in the movie theater, all right? I'm going to show you two more clips. He tells George, his older brother, he says, George, you're the richest man in town. And what he meant by him, he says, he who is rich has many friends. And all of his friends come to help him at the very end. And the central theme of the movie really isn't about money, isn't about really Christmas. It's about really the position that you have with the people around you, not the position that you attain in life, but the position that you have with relationship with people. That's what makes you successful. I think door number three is the right door. And I wouldn't have chosen, if I would have chosen it, hopefully that goat wouldn't have been behind there and it would have been a zonk, you know, but it would have been the abundant life. How about you? The life that we have in Christ. And it's a lasting fulfillment. It's an outrageous claim to say, I've come to give you life and life, not only life, but life, and not only a wonderful life, but an abundant life. Who can make that claim? I'd be a liar. You would too if you made that claim. But Jesus shows up and he says, I've come to give you life and life abundant. You missed a good time to clap right there. Yeah. Oh, for the one that gives us the abundant life, my Savior, my Jesus. Some of y'all ain't clapping, but I'll clap for you. Yeah, Jesus. He's the way. My Jesus, the person. God is living within you. And that's abundant, amen. But our problem is we're just like sheep. Yeah. We get distracted just like sheep. We get on our phone just like sheep. We just can't leave things alone. We're ignorant like sheep. We're individualistic like sheep. I'm going to do my own thing. And no one can lead you. The marketing people know about you people. Because they see you search for that thing on Google. They see you search on Kayak, they see you search on these websites, and then they start hitting you with those pop-up ads. Yeah, didn't you want that from Kohl's? Didn't you want that jacket? Well, here it is. Now it's on sale, and they pop it up for you because they know your trends. They study you. They got your number, right, everybody? They know how to package it, and they want you to buy it, and it's a good thing if you can buy it. See, the sheep, because they're like people, they're drawn away. They wander away. They get in trouble. There were two types of shepherds that ruled sheep during that time that Jesus. There was a city sheep, and then there was a country sheep. And some of y'all fit right in. Give me a good amen. Your city, some of y'all are country. And he says the city had it made, the city sheep, because they went into a pen that was already made, and everybody would go in there. It'd be a larger one, and each shepherd would call with his yell. Ours would have been, you know, so they would have come, you know, out when they would have heard the shepherd of Living Faith come out. We would have walked. You'll get that, some of y'all, at 3 in the morning. Don't put me on Snapchat, please. Don't do that. Amen. Some of y'all film, put that stuff on Snapchat. It's messed up. May your phone blow up if you do that. Give me a good, literally blow up. May you crack your screen. Amen. But the country sheep had it a little bit tougher. They had to just build something with rocks and get some sort of, you know, thing real quick, because they were in the country, and they would lead their sheep into that at nighttime when the sun would go down. And the only door, it wasn't like the city sheep that they would have like this door, this fancy door with a hinge on it. No, literally the door was, I am the door. Jesus said the shepherd would lay down in front and no sheep would cross past him or wake him up. He would become the door. And that's why Jesus is looking out for your best interest today. He doesn't want you to wander off. He's going to guard you. He's going to put that hedge of protection around you, right, everybody? And he's going to, you're in protective custody. Give me a good amen. Amen. Thank God for that. Other voices may entice us. The wolves may try to wait for us, but that shepherd is there if you're in his presence today, if you're believing God today. Amen. I love Psalms 100 because King David knew about sheep, and it says this. Why don't we read it together on three? Everybody ready? Are you ready? On three. One, two, three. Shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Yeah. Do you know the Lord is your God? Yeah. But do you know that? See, I know God, but see the Lord. Is he Lord? Or is he just a spare tire that you have in the back trunk? Just a prayer. I need you when emergencies happen. Jesus had a blowout. You become the spare tire in my life. Now, God wants to take over the car. Let him drive it. Amen. Jesus, you're my co-pilot. No, yeah. Move on over. I'm the pilot, he's saying. Give me if you make him Lord. And we got to know that he's Lord. And you got to do this stuff to get blessed. You want the abundant life, do the stuff. Do the stuff that he's called us to do. There was this sign that was made, and it had this picture of a dog, and it showed he only has three legs. He has a blind eye, left eye. He has a right ear that's missing. His tail's been broken off. And he was actually accidentally neutered by the fence. Ouch. Yeah. And he's almost deaf, but he still answers to his name. The little poster said, had a picture of him, and his name was Lucky. Not too lucky, is he? You know why he's lucky, that dog? Beat up, messed up, you know what? Because he has an owner looking for him. He has somebody that loves him, that little dog. And God is looking for you. No one's arrived here at Living Faith. I'm the chief sinner. God is still looking for all of us in this room when we wander away. When we get all messed up, we get all funky, like my brother used to tell. You're all messed up in your head. You know, no, God loves you, even if you're not a masterpiece yet. You're a making, you might be a mess, but God is still doing something in your life. God is still seeking you out. God wants to work, amen? He wants you back. God wants you back today, amen? Oh, how God misses you in this room today if you're not with him. Come back to him today, right, everybody? The second thought is this. Somebody say hear. Somebody say embrace. And somebody say produce. There's this whole story that Jesus spoke about these seeds. And he's talked about four seeds. And he says, all these are the people that believe that I was Savior. They lifted their hand. They made the confession of faith. They walked down the aisle. They did. They maybe even got baptized. Some of them are at Living Faith Church. Some of them are at church today. I made a typo thing. It's not John. It's Mark. But it's Mark chapter 4 on the big screen, verse 15. And it says this. Some people are like the seed along the path. Somebody say seed.
Seed.
And because there's a seed, somebody say there's potential.
Potential.
One day that seed can be fruitful. And when the word is sown, as soon as they hear it, look what happens. Watch right now. Satan comes and he takes the word which was sown to them. Now who took it?
Satan.
So it wasn't anybody else. It wasn't worry. We'll get that out in a minute. It wasn't deceitfulness of riches. It was literally the devil. And a lot of people come down on the church and the pastor. I'm not getting fed at Living Faith Church. This stuff's all baby food. I'm eating nothing but baby food. You know, they've said that about this place. But I notice about this passage, get this, don't miss this. This isn't really about the church or the pastor, the person that's kind of regurgitating and, you know, chewing it in his mouth and giving it back to you, because he wants you to grow up, according to what I'm saying. So the soil, this is really about you listening and you hearing. And what are you hearing? So the onus is on you. Aren't you glad? I sure am. It makes my job a lot easier. Give me a good amen. There's this thing called the self-feeding program. Because what you get today at Living Faith Church, it might inspire you, but you got to go home Monday and read God's Word. Or might, how about tonight? And just have a devoted life. Love God. Live God. And take the things away. One of the best Bible studies that you can do is probably, not because I did it, but take this message and really look at the verses. And you get stronger. There's nothing more stronger than you growing in God by self-feeding yourself. Thank God for the church. It's inspirational. And we'll do it. We'll get out of this locker room. And we'll go back for the second half and win the game. But you got to keep going. Amen. Give me a good amen. Come back Wednesday and we'll serve. We'll even get more spiritual muscles because we'll leave this place and go out to our community and minister. And that's how you look cut, man. You want to look like me? Come on, get cut. Give me a good amen. I got this thing on that's holding everything in. Look at the second seed. Others, verse 16, like the seed, somebody say rocky places. And so that's where the seed falls. They hear the word. Notice they got saved. And once they received it with joy. Yeah, they got, man, on fire for Jesus. But since they have no root, it lasts only for a short time. How many ever seen believers like that? Right? And so when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. And so there's this thin layer of soil on top, but the rocks underneath, just like we live here in South Texas, all the caliche, amen. And we see people in churches that blow in, like my pastor Zumalt used to say, blow up, and then they blow out. You blow in, you blow up, and then you blow out, because there's no root that can take place today, and you're not strong. Again, are y'all there with me? Yeah. The third seed is this. Still others, the seed is sown among the thorns. Are y'all there with me? They hear the word. Look, but the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things come in. And they choke the word, making it what? Now, these people are still in church. They may even be pastors of churches because we're reading God's word today. They have an important position. They're Christians, but they're unfruitful. And there's nothing like fruitful people. And that's what you're meant. That's your purpose today, right, everybody? You want to be fruitful. The other thing interests us more than the Word of God. We draw our attention towards other things, and it doesn't cause us to be fruitful. It's what you put in it. Right? The investment. You show me what your attention's drawn towards, what your gaze is on, then that's what you're going to be fruitful about. And God needs to fit in because he's called jealous. I am a jealous God. And what I've noticed about God, he doesn't really want anybody else to take his time and take, man, God doesn't want me to have a life. No, he wants you to have a life, but a life in Christ. Amen. Right, everybody? So it's easy. You can do this thing. Let me take that back. It's not easy, but you can still do this thing through Christ. Verse 20, the final one, and this is where we want to be. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and what do? Yeah, you get production, man. You get that fruitfulness, man. It's something like 30, something 60-fold. It's 100 times what was sown. And the purpose of the seed is to be fruitful. The purpose of your life is to be fruitful. Fruitful with your family, first and foremost. Fruitful in your marriage. Fruitful with your sons and daughters. Fruitful all about life. You spit, man, and something comes up because that ground is so fruitful that you live in. That's how it is in your life. I know I'm grossing you out, but listen to me. You know what fruitfulness is? Fruitfulness is this thing that causes a seed to be in the ground in the darkness, covered up, deep in the ground, and it, after watering because of the word, after it's coming in you, it finally just breaks and it pops open, and that seed rises through ground that is ready, and it's producing, and it rises up. And that's what a seed does. It's not easy, but it's made for that person that faces painful situations, enduring situations. Perseverance is happening because the seed is rising, but it's going to take a little bit of endurance in your life for pain, even if pain comes. Because in the moment of pain, we want to, no, That's not for me. I'm going to shrink back. You're not going to be fruitful then. You endure pain. I've had some painful prayers in my life. How about you? Been so worried. Been so concerned. What if this happens? What if that happens with my family? What if this happens with my job or my church? You know, same thing with you. I'm no different than you. I put on my shoes just like you today. But then that's why we have pain and we turn our pain into prayers. And God sees that. That's where watering comes about. That's where the soil is working and it's going to happen. But I'm just encouraging you today. Don't stop because of the pain. Turn them into prayers today. I want to encourage everybody in this room today with my teeth clenched. Like, let's get through this thing. God has a harvest for you, 100-fold. But we can't quit. Don't quit on your marriage yet. Keep enduring. Keep going. Amen. Don't quit on your child yet. Don't quit on the ministry that God gave you. Amen. Thank God. We're not going to quit today. There's this clip that I'm about to show you. In the Wonderful Life, there's these painful prayers. It's so beautiful that happen. I know it's an older movie, but you hear these prayers rising up. Please help George Bailey. His mama even prays for him. Please help. Please help my son. You hear a child praying. They're praying for their daddy. And they're praying, and it gets heaven's attention. In the painful prayers, God is near to the brokenhearted. He's very near to your prayer. Oh, how have you prayed, and God has captured every tear that you prayed. He has that as a memorial for you, that he's going to pray, even when it's painful, when it's hard. And George Bailey is getting all these people to intercede for him. And God hears the prayers. And George here is praying at this bar. Of all places, he's praying at a bar. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you ever prayed at a bar, but some of us have. And thank, look what God's done. You're here at Living Faith Church. You're no longer in a bar. Right, everybody? Look how you hear, again, Jimmy Stewart's this master actor. Watch his face, and we'll turn it up a little bit, Daisy, because it's a little bit low. But let's watch this scene.
Yeah, Merry Christmas! Glad you come.
Glad you come.
How about some of that good spaghetti?
We got everything.
God. I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope, right? Show me the way, oh God.
Let's say, Lord, show me the way. Come on, everybody. Lord, show me the way. Yeah. You know how God answers his prayer? This guy punches him in the face at the bar. I'm hoping God doesn't do that to any of us, but George prays at the end of the movie, Lord, let me live again. You'll see the result of it at the last scene that we show. And when God shows him that he can live again, he goes through this street, and he's yelling, Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! In that scene, and everybody, the town folk, is yelling Merry Christmas back to him. And this home that he left in anger because the kids were making noise and he was so upset with the racket they were making, and this one was doing that one, the children, and his wife was trying to remodel this old musty house, and he talked about how bad the house was. This old musty, and he left the house. Well, when he returns after God answers his prayer, he said, this house is wonderful. He hugs his kids. How many ever been sick? Just a simple one. You ever been sick and you said, man, I miss my good health. I miss when I didn't have a cold, right? You realize what a gift that good health is to you when you don't have it. And all life takes is a little bit of pounding and a little bit of pressure on us, and a little bit of things, disappointment, that we realize, God, you've given me so much, amen? Some of us, honestly, not to make it too exemplified, but we left Living Faith Church. And not that, no cult leader here, by no means, amen? You can, there's a lot, there's 20 other churches that are great churches that Irma and I would be part of if we weren't part of Living Faith Church in our city. And if you don't like this church, I'll give you 5 other churches that you can go to. Amen? I mean that. Because there's great churches, but what I'm saying is, man, you left this place and you realize, man, I want to come home. Amen. Because you realize what we had here and that you were meant to be here. Amen. I hope y'all got that. I hope it's not too weird on me, but on this thing. And amen. God allowed him to live again. Amen. And now the home is filled with just wonder and love today. The third principle is this. It's a wonderful life because it's an abundant life. Right, everybody? You have Jesus, you have everything. You have Jesus, you have everything. You have Jesus. I wish I had somebody up here helping me. You have Jesus, you got everything. And when you love somebody and you give them that ring like I told you a moment ago, and you want them to be your beloved, your wife, or your holy matrimony, you give them the best. You give them your life. I'll walk with you the rest of your life, for better or for worse. You know that. You've done that, some of you in this room today. And God did that because he wanted you so much. He wanted to marry you and put the ring on it. And God gave his best. And you know what his best was? Jesus. And he gave you Jesus. You know what? Jesus was the Prince of Heaven, the darling Son of Heaven. And he gave Jesus because he wanted you so much. Well, you got me. Amen. And you know the greatest gift that you got? The abundance of Jesus being within your heart, the Holy Spirit now resides in you. What a blessing, amen. God's loving kindness is better than life. His loving kindness saved you, and it gave you the abundant life today. The Bible speaks of Moses, and Pastor Moses had 3 million people, right? And so Deuteronomy 28 on the big screen. Why don't we read it together? One more scripture. Come on, don't make this one your best, Living Faith. 1, 2, 3, go. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. And the Lord will grant your enemies to be defeated before you. One direction, they will scatter. And the incredible thing about the blessed life and the abundant life is, even when you have enemies, you're never going to lose. My enemy, my uncle, my enemy, my wife I'm sitting next to. No, that's not the enemy I'm talking about. Amen. It ain't people. My enemy, by the guy that's in the church. No, that's not your enemy either. The enemies of our soul. There's this abundant life that God wants to give every one of us as I conclude here. I'm going to show you one more clip. Don't go to sleep on me. Come on, stay with me, right? And the abundant life, well, I'm going to be a billionaire, Pastor. I hope so. Amen. Tithe. Amen. If you become. I'm never going to get sick. No. I don't want you to get sick, but you may get a cold. Abundant life means that you're going to be saved. That salvation word at the very beginning of the sheep that God saves us is a word of somebody being in threat, that someone's coming after, and you need protection. And so your salvation comes that you were once lost, but now you're saved. You have Christ within you. There's this hedge of protection that goes around us as we have an abundant life. We may face difficulty, but we have a hedge of protection. God can't touch what's on the inside of you today. Your spirit's protected. And then you'll be satisfied finally if you have the abundant life. That means you can't find satisfaction on earth stuff, but you sure will get it from God today. Right, everybody? As we press in and believe God. David was a great example of encouragement, of what he understood exactly what it meant to have lack in his life, to have fear in his life, to have concerns in his life. An evil king was after him named Saul. He's after to kill him. So there were many concerns. And David was this type of leader that as he became older, he realized, God's been good to me. Look at my life. Even when I was a shepherd, when all these concerns were on my life, when I was going through this political pressure, when I was going through all these, God was still good to me. And he recognizes even in the past how God delivered him. And it takes a mature believer to even look at our past and to see redemption and to give thanks because of that today. And so David can encourage us today as he sits down with us and he looks at us. And he wrote Psalms 23 really not as a point of being, well, we've heard it at a funeral, so you guys could have funeral scriptures at your Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's a good funeral thing to say. But David wrote this while he was in the valley, while he was facing tough times. And so David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And the incredible thing about David again was he knew exactly how we would feel when enemies are all around us and we're sitting at a table, when we're not sitting and everything's hunky-dory and all the blessings and everybody. See, a table was really meant that I might have a meal with somebody that I like. You don't break bread or you get acid indigestion, right? If you're going to have a terrible meal. And nobody wants to go home for the holidays and break bread with somebody. That's why some of you avoid your relatives, right? Not here at Living Bay Church. So when you sit up at the table and you look at, are you at Psalms 23 with me in the handout there? Show me. And you sit at the table and it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. We're moving on up, Wheezy. Come on up. We're moving on up. Amen. When there's a chair for you at a table that's not only been prepared by persons making great food for you during the, but God himself has prepared a table for you. You prepare. My shepherd has prepared a table for me in the wilderness. When there shouldn't be a table, when I don't see it in the natural because of my emotions, because of the way I feel, because of what the doctor just told me, because of what they told me as a person, and they've see, there's all these enemies around me, but I'm not going to look at them. I'm going to fix my gaze on what I cannot see and still give them thanks and still pray through. Do you understand that today? Because there's a table for me in the wilderness. Hey, when there's a table, man, that means we're going to eat. And so I have to recognize when there's enemies around me, like discouragement, like lack. How about this one? This one's God. God, I'm looking at, even I don't feel God, but God's there because he's hosting this whole thing. And when there's this thing about lack in my life, despondency, when there's this thing of jealousy in my life, all these enemies that want to come on me and pull up a chair in the presence of my enemies, God sets a table for me. God prepares that table right for me. Well, how can I not look at that? They just told me that at my job, or that person did that to me. That's an enemy. It's not them, but it's an enemy of your soul that wants to take your victory away. Your thing is what your gaze is on. Am I going to look at that? I'm going to look at I'm going to look at God. I'm going to believe that God is there with me, because all this trouble I'm encountering right now, I sure do have an appetite now. And you eat, you're going to eat right when there's trouble. Give me a good amen. Imagine, why don't you turn the table on those enemies and show them how, don't look at me because I have a good appetite. I want you to look at my God. Problem, you're nothing compared to my God because I'm eating, amen. I'm like, touchdown, amen. A bowl of cereal would be good right now, right? Not only does he prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, but God wants me to sit down. And he finally wants to say, you know what? I'm going to anoint your head with oil. Come on, sit down, sheep. Sheep, because you stink sometimes. And sheep, you get full of those flies. And you get full of those gnats. And I'm going to anoint you with oil. So all that junk comes off you. And your cup is going to overflow. It's just going to be an overflow of blessing. And love will follow me because I'm at the king's table. I'm accepted. I may not be accepted by too many people, but the king accepts me. My father accepts me, right, everybody? And look at that. There's always going to be a place for me at the king's table because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, Lord. Yeah. So the enemy can't touch this. Amen. It can't touch you if you're at the table. Mature Christianity, this ain't some microwave Easy Mac thing that we stir every 50 seconds. This takes some time. This is maturity. You sit at this table, and it's like this crock pot. It's going to take a little bit of time, but it's going to taste good. And that's mature Christianity, and we grow the next level. Come on, Living Faith, are you with me today? Yeah. Amen. Bow and pray with me. Band, hold your positions. Don't move until we just, would you wait for a moment? And let's bow and pray. We bow our hearts, God, and we pray to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing at this church right now. I want to pray for you if you're in a painful situation, if you're in this house today. No one moving around, please, right now. This is a holy moment. And I want you right now, that painful situation, it could be because of a job. I'm just throwing that out to you because I know someone is facing some challenges at their workplace. If you're facing something in a relationship, of course, if there's something on you that you just keep remembering and it's frustrating you, and it's like that fly that would buzz around a lamb, I want to pour oil on that with God's anointing. Just if that's you right now, and you don't need to lift your hand, but right now, Father, touch the people that need to make a painful prayer. Yeah, one of your prayers is about that loved one. You know that they're hurting, and it's hurting you, Mama. It's hurting you as a mom to have a son go that route. And God's gonna, I'm gonna agree with your painful prayer that they're offering up for a son. That one man in this congregation that's believing for his job to be enough and to be sad. Lord, I thank you that he works for you first, and he takes this word of admonishment and correction that he puts you at his job. And he's working under you, glorifying you. You're going to bless that man because he's making a painful prayer right now. A painful prayer will produce right now. In all of our pain, God, right now, you're hearing this prayer. Touch the people, Living Faith Church, and meet them at their need right now. God is near to the brokenhearted. Your heart may be broken, but God's right there. Thank you, Father. As I stay in an attitude of prayer, no one looking around, I always give you an opportunity today to receive Christ. And I want to do that right now. I want to ask you, if you're in this room, no one moving around, please. This is an important moment, a holy moment. You're meant to live a wonderful life. Not only a wonderful life, but an abundant life. Don't leave this room without receiving Christ. I want to give you that opportunity. I want to make sure that you've received Christ as your Savior today. And if that's you and you're far away from God or you need to come close, you've never received Christ, this is your moment. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to see that your hand is lifted. If you'll do that, slightly lifted, I'll note that hand and I'll pray. I'll pray from the platform. You'll pray right at your chair. You'll make that your altar today. If that's you, would you lift your hand right now and say, that's me. I'm far away from God. I need Jesus in my life. If that's you, no one moving around, please. Is that anybody in this room? Just making sure. Come on, somebody. Yeah, you're receiving. Don't walk away without Jesus. You have Jesus, you have everything. Yes, I see your hands. Yes, you can put them down, beloved. I see that. And a family's receiving Christ. Son, you can do that too. Anybody else? Making sure. For the family that received Christ, we're not going to embarrass you. But the sinners that are in this room that are saved by grace, we're going to pray with you. I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. If you lifted your hand, and we're going to pray it from our heart too. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear, and you have a new beginning right now. You're already saved because the hand is the formality. The prayer is a formality. You're already my brother. You're my sister today. Let's pray this prayer. All the sinners that are saved by grace, including us right now, we pray this prayer. My Father in heaven, receive my prayer. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new again. Take my shame. Take my sin. I give it to Jesus. He's on the cross for me. He died for my sins. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless the family that received Christ. Come on, bless them. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. Bless our worship team as they come to the platform. They're a blessing to all of us. God has sent us the best worshipers, amen, and they're leading us, and they're doing an outstanding job, and we're fortunate to have them, amen. Thank God for it. For the people that lifted their hand, or if you have a prayer request, you're found in Living Faith Church, right in front of you or around you are these connection cards, and I want you to connect with me by filling one of those out. Tell me, I received Christ today. Make sure that you give that to one of our leaders. Give it to Larry and Sherry or one of the leaders that are here. You can also put it in the offering baskets that are up front. We can do that today. Today, we're doing the offering a little bit different because I wanted to make sure that we're able to do it according kind of to the movie. In It's a Wonderful Life, there's this one scene that I'm not going to show you, but it's a pretty powerful scene, and it shows the portrait of the founder of the building and loan company that George is now working, that he inherited from his father. And George's father's portrait's on there. And he has this quote right below it that I caught, and it's a portrait from St. Lawrence. It says this: you can only take with you that which you give away. You can only take with you that which you give away. Again, the elder Bailey is now deceased, but he has this quote about his life. And you really can't take, you've never seen the U-Haul behind the hearse, right, everybody? Amen. So it's never going to follow the funeral procession, all of our stuff. There's this one powerful scene that the stock market crashes and everybody's making a run on the bank, and they historically show this in the movie. And they come upon his savings and loan, George Bailey's, that he's running. And all these people are lined up. But what they know is George just got married. And so they got like $2,000 that they got, the newlywed, the honeymoon, amen. All these people gave them $2,000. Incredible movie. You need to watch it if you haven't watched it. And they stop because they see the run on the bank. And George is the manager, and he runs back in with his wife, Mary. And he sees these people saying, I need to get all my money. And they don't have the money in that building and loan. And if they do, they're going to have to shut down. And so Mary says, we have $2,000. And George say, we can do this thing together. And there's a bunch of people in there. And so this one guy says, get only what you need. Only what you need. Get what you need. Hey, we ought to do a reverse offering one day at Living Faith Church. Well, we give you back. Get what you need. Amen. Wouldn't that be something? I gave the treasurer right now, the church council, a heart attack. But that's kingdom living. Don't dare me. That might be God. Amen. For us to have an abundance. Because get this. So they got that $2,000. One person says, he comes up, he says, I need $250 or whatever. And George said, do you really need that amount? Nah, 20 will do until I can make do. Because he knows the bank is eventually going to open. So they get 20. And the rest, some lady does need like $11.50, and she accounts for that $11. And he hugs her and says, you could have asked for more, but she asked just for what she needs. And at the end of the day, like 2 minutes before 5 o'clock, the clock is ticking on It's a Wonderful Life, and they're still solvent. In other words, there's still money in the bank. You know how much is left in the movie? Y'all watch the movie. Who watched the movie? How much is left? $2, the banker says, $2. $2 is left, and they're still solvent. God will always provide for his house. God will always provide for his children today. I from Foursquare International, we took out a loan. It was more than a half a million, a $600,000 loan, right, Link? Howard, yeah, about that much. We're about 580 now because of interest. Man, we made a dent, right? Some of y'all have thought I was crazy on this, but that's what faith does. That's what miracle does. That's what got us out of the smaller building and got us into this building. That's faith, right? I didn't say that, but here's where you can clap. I want that half a million that we still owe to be debt. I want to be debt free. And I know you do too. You do too. Amen. And today, we're not going to become debt-free, not unless somebody writes a half a million. And that would be a blessing. Give me a good amen. That would be a miracle Sunday. We would talk about that to our grandbabies, amen. But here's how it's going to happen. It's going to be that person that gives that 1158, that gives that 20, that gives that 200, and gives, and it's continual giving. Because it's just like that with continual savings, right? And we bring our tithe back to the house of the Lord. Do we need money at Living Faith Church? We're doing okay without you if you've never given, because God, the sons and daughters of this place are given today. We really are today. But I want to get into God's economy, and I do that through my tithe and my love offering. That's where the abundance comes in my life, right? And so today, amen, let's believe God that we're debt-free. That we're miracle, that the miracle happens in this season today. Would you keep the dream alive with me about that? I'm not going to grow old in this thing. I'm going to see it accelerated. Give me a good amen. Because we sure could use that mortgage that we're doing every month, and we should pay that back. It's a blessing, and we're not going to go defaulting on it, because especially who we have here, right, Blaine? Amen. Give me a good amen. We need to do that, amen, and we need to be a blessing. But the sooner we pay that thing off, imagine what we could do with that money. Imagine how many people we could reach. Imagine the children's ministry that we could have for our students in this area, the youth ministry that we could have. Amen? Would you bow and pray with me as you bring your tithe, as you bring your offerings to the Lord? We do it by bringing it up front. Again, if you're visiting, please don't give. This is our gift to you, and I want you to see the miracle that's about to take place with people. There's three ways to give. I'm sorry as I asked you to pray, but on the big screen, open your eyes. Pray with your eyes open today. You can give three ways real quick. You can give online 24/7. Go to livingfaithsa.org. You can give by text to give. Keyword, Living Faith. I did that for second service. It's in there. And 7797 text, 77977. Or you can give all at Living Faith Church by check, cash, and money order. The check debit machine's outside. Now let's ask God's blessing. Thank you, Father. We hold our phones if they're giving right now. We hold our check. We hold the giving, God. And we're going to the check debit machine, God. Bless the gift and the giver. Thank you for the sons and daughters paying this house off. Because, God, we don't want to owe any man anything. Thank you for debt, Lord. That's a blessing right now, but now debt is being dissolved in the spirit, and it's happening spiritually right now. Bring it about in the natural, God. Supersede that increase, $500,000. We call it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. If God can do a million, what's $500,000, right? God bless you as you give. The songs of faith are arising. The worship songs of faith are rising. I got that, man. All right. Stand to your feet and worship God with me. Yeah.